This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutan. A week ago, Bank Negara sparked a public debate by introducing the concept of living wage, where the conversation had been largely dominated by the question of a minimum wage. Bank Negara defines a living wage as that which is necessary for an individual or a household to participate in society with opportunities for personal and family development, as well as freedom over or from severe financial stress. Now, in its 2017 annual report, the central bank said it based its study on a study in 2016. The living wage in Kuala Lumpur ranges from 2,700 ringgit a month for an individual to 6,500 ringgit a month for a couple with two children. On the line is economist Lee Hock An, a senior fellow at the Institute of Southeast Asian Studies in Singapore. Good morning. I want to begin, Hock An, with the very simple proposition that it seems that even before we exhausted the debate on the minimum wage, its pros and cons, we've now added this complication, the living wage. Do you welcome Bank Negara's move?
Hi, Sharad. Good morning, and thanks for having me here. Yeah, I think Bank Negara, you know, has brought something that is timely and important into the public domain. Something that, you know, we can it's a welcome addition. It shouldn't be seen as something that is in conflict with minimum wage. I think, as you mentioned just now, the way that it is defined, you know, there's these principles or ideals of reasonable wages that can support a reasonable amount of consumption and acceptable living, quality time. And these were also drawn on how living wage is defined in countries around the world. Whereas minimum wage, you know, is getting more at survival or basic needs, not as aspiring to, you know, what living wage aspires to for participation and some of the things that you qualified, you mentioned just now. So I think it is a welcome compliment, and the way that it is also calculated, I think is quite instructive. Whereas minimum wage, well, it takes into account various things like the consumption, but that is also just based on asking people what you actually consume, and then based on, you know, some kind of reasonable minimum, like the calorie intake and so on, as well as productivity. But living wage, and with what Bank Negara explained in their report, and that also draws on, you know, how it's been done around the world. It's a bit more interactive in that they engage with focus groups to have discussions. So not just looking at asking people, okay, this is what you spend and what we regard as a minimum, but also what people, I think, feel, you know, should be acceptable or reasonable. So it solicits the feedback from ordinary people and their households. And I think that's how they could arrive at these figures, 2,700 for a single, and then 6,500 a couple with two children.
Well, you know, just don't mean to cut you off there, but, you know, the when you say that the minimum wage was really a pitch at the question of survival, and we don't seem to even have a consensus about the minimum wage, we've had economists in this country, perhaps coming from the right end of the spectrum, saying that, you know, they don't welcome a push towards the minimum wage. I mean, what is it for us to say we don't want the minimum wage when the minimum wage is, in some ways, really pitched at the very simple question of survival?
Well, I think, you know, in these kind of conversations, I think the overarching principle should be what is maximizing the benefit for society. And there's a role for market and role for government, and strengths and failures on both sides. I think, you know, for the criticism or reservation, I think, seems to, you know, it's usually premised on how, you know, markets should be left to operate on their own. And markets do well in certain things, and determining what to produce and engaging in innovations and connecting supply and demand. But markets do poorly and fail in a number of things. And I think two come, you know, into are important in this context. And the first is power imbalance. You know, the market functions very well in situations of willing buyer, willing seller, but where there is an power imbalance and there is some element of force in the transaction, take it or leave it, like in certain wage negotiations, especially at the low level wages, then this is a problem. If we can recognize that monopolies are a problem, and I think this is part of the discussion, you know, with mega mergers and so on, and there should be some regulation that steps in, essentially because of market power, then I think the power imbalances in the labor market also call for intervention.
Now, you know, the question, when you're bringing up the question of power imbalance, where do trade unions fit into the picture? You know, speaking specifically of the Malaysian situation, but perhaps you can also reference the global situation. The trade unions or a lack of a strong trade union in, say, the Malaysian context, has it led us to this situation of low wages?
Yes. I mean, the decline, and actually it's kind of more, it hasn't really, you know, it has really reached such a low level, something like 3% in the private sector, 7% overall, so most of them are in the Malaysian public sector. You know, what? How can workers counter that imbalance, you know, without the power of owning capital is by banding together, power in numbers. And so when where unionization goes into decline or is at a very low level, then workers have less bargaining power. But I think, you know, I think is still relevant, but we also need to look beyond, I think, trade unions in this way that it has been structured in terms of an industrial economy and unionization by industry or at the workplace. I think things have really changed and calls for us to, you know, to rethink. More broadly still, I think it's important for collectivization but unionization in different forms, maybe more along occupational lines. So not just in one particular workplace, but, you know, for self-employed, you know, based on skill, and maybe something along the line of guilds. I mean, these are things.
Well, you know, sorry, we're running out of time. Hang on, I just want to very quickly point out the fact that on one hand, Bank Negara sees this essentially as a guide to policymakers and employers. We've also had the second finance minister, Johari Abdul Ghani, weighing in on this, saying the move cannot be implemented. So he was seeing it almost like a policy guideline. But the issue really is, you know, in terms of the living wage in the UK, for instance, they have a living wage commission that does the calculation. Do we need to institutionalize something like the living wage calculation?
Well, I think if ultimately there has to be, you know, some kind of integrity and authority and credibility in the setting of a certain of the baseline. You know, it does matter what the amount is. So, we would have to be looking into that. I think how it complements, you know, the existing institutions and mechanisms for minimum wage would have to be looked into. But I do want to say, I think, yes, there it doesn't have the kind of pervasive, you know, force and punitive and enforceability of the minimum wage. But it's more than just a guideline. I mean, it can be something that the public sector can undertake to pay, actually, the living wage to its employees or to, you know, contractors or those who are taking business from the government. Some countries do things like, you know, accrediting. So companies that pay and they are certified as paying a living wage, they're sort of given this badge of honor, and that sends a signal to the market, to society, that this is, you know, a good employer or one that's abiding by living wage. So there are practical ways as well of implementing living wage.
That was economist Lee Hock An, a senior fellow at the Institute of Southeast Asian Studies in Singapore. We'll be back with more news and analysis. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.